Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Good morning, Second Mile. It's great to see this place filled up this morning. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, as I listen to the song, the goodness of God that spoke to my heart this morning, every word, Lord, went into my heart, and the music that we have each Sunday is just like a sermon. Every word of every song that we sing that goes into our heart, and thank you, Lord. Thank you for this musicians that we have, the talented musicians we had, and thank you for Andrew Penny and what he does here, dear Lord. And Lord, as we come and worship you here this morning, we pray that your Spirit will pour into our hearts this morning, Lord. And we ask you, Lord, to bless each and every Sunday school teacher here, from the smallest to the largest, Lord. We're thankful for each and every one of them. And Lord, I ask you to be with Brother Derek as he brings the sermon this morning. And ask you to bless his word. And it's in your mighty name we pray, dear Lord. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. It's good to be with you this morning. And as Brother Andrew said, I'm Derek Simonis. I'm your campus pastor at Kenwood. And I love coming over here to worship with you all. And I love Brother Cal. He is a blessing to me. And just great to be here. See your smiling faces early in the morning on Sunday. Right? Some of you are smiling anyway. Some of y'all are still working on that coffee. That's okay. By the time we get through this morning, you'll have it done and you'll be awake. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hey, turn in your Bibles to the book of Habakkuk. Some of y'all need to reference the table of contents. It's okay. Heard a story about a preacher who got up to preach, and he said, can everybody hear me okay? And somebody, and a lady in the back said, yeah, but I wouldn't mind trading spots with somebody who can't. You know, hopefully it won't be like that today. Habakkuk chapter 2. If you found that and you're able, would you stand with me one more time in honor to the reading of God's word? Habakkuk chapter 2. It's going to read three verses here, beginning in verse 1. And the word of God says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower and will watch to see what he will say unto me and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for these songs that we have sung. Lord, I just pray this morning that you would add your blessing to the reading of your word. God, that you would do something, Lord, that I cannot, and use your word to change us this morning. God, that you would speak through it and supernaturally work in hearts and give us what you have for us this morning. For it's in the name that's above every other name that we ask it, the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach for just a few moments this morning on a vision only God can give. A vision only God can give. It started like so many evenings. Mom and Dad were at home, and Jimmy was playing after dinner, and Mom and Dad were maybe a little absent-minded, not noticing the time, but it was a full moon outside, and some of the light began to seep through the windows. And then Mom glanced at the clock, and she realized what time it was. And she said, Jimmy, it's time to go to bed. So go on upstairs now, and I'll come settle you in later. So Jimmy, unusually, he walked upstairs on his own and disappeared without any further prompting. About an hour later, Mother followed him upstairs and went to check on him, and she found him sitting by the window, staring up at the moon. And she was astonished. She said, "What are you doing, Jimmy?" And he replied, "Mom, you know, one day I'm going to walk on the moon." And who could have known that that boy in whom that dream was planted would one day survive a near fatal motorcycle accident, which broke almost every bone in his body, but it would bring to fruition this dream 32 years later, when he would become just one of 12 representatives of the human race to set foot on the moon. That was James Irwin. He had a vision to walk on the moon, a vision. And as we look at the book of Habakkuk this morning, we see that Habakkuk was a contemporary of the minor prophets Nahum and Zephaniah, and he was a contemporary also of Jeremiah. This places him in the reign of King Josiah and Jehoiakim. And the Babylonians were in power, the Chaldeans, and Nebuchadnezzar had defeated Egypt and was about to attack Judah. And Jeremiah prophetically announces that Babylon would invade Judah and destroy Jerusalem and the temple and send the nation into exile. And Habakkuk's little book indicates that he knows the Old Testament scriptures well. He was a competent theologian, and he also had great faith in God. And because of the psalm that is in chapter 3 of his book, some scholars think he may have been a priest as well, who led worship in the temple. And if this is true, he was a priest who was also called to be a prophet. And that's a difficult ministry to be engaged in. And his name means to embrace or to wrestle with. In this book, he does both. And he wrestles with God concerning the problem of how a holy God could use a wicked nation like Babylon to chasten God's people of Judah. But by faith, he embraces God and clings to his promises. And Habakkuk also wrestles with the spiritual decline that he sees going on all around him. Well, we see a lot of that today, don't we? The spiritual decline. And he wonders why God wasn't doing something about it. He wanted to see revival happen in his nation, amongst his people. But God wasn't answering his prayers. His statement in verse number 2, "The just shall live by faith," was quoted 3 times in the New Testament in different books. The emphasis in Romans is on the just, and Galatians is on how they should live, and in Hebrews, it's on by faith. It takes 3 books to fully explain what Habakkuk states in just 1 verse. The chapter reports an experience Habakkuk had that is similar to one recorded by Asaph the psalmist in Psalm 73. And like Habakkuk, Asaph was bewildered at the providential working of God in this world. He was disturbed because the wicked seemed to be prospering and while the righteous were suffering. Have you ever felt that way? You ever wondered why the wicked seemed to be having it easy while the righteous seemed to be struggling? And like Habakkuk, he reasoned with God, and he gave God the opportunity to reply. It goes like this: "When I thought to know this," he wrote, "it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary of God." And there in the sanctuary, he found God's answer to his problem, and his sighing was turned into singing. Listen, when things get heavy in your life, when things get difficult and things begin to weigh you down, you don't understand life and the difficulties and the trials become too much for you to bear. Listen to me. It's time to get into the presence of God. It's time to get into a place where your burdens can become lighter and the Holy Spirit can help you carry your load. It's time for you to get into the sanctuary. Put down the distractions of the world and get into the presence of one who can help you carry your heavy load. In this day and hour in which we live, we need a fresh vision from Almighty God. A fresh vision. It's not something that's mystical or new age, but it's a divine strengthening through the Spirit. And it's based on and in line with the Word of God. And it shows us individually and corporately what God's will is for the coming days. And I want to notice quickly this morning four things about this vision. This vision. Number one, the source of the vision. The source of the vision in verse 1. He talks about this. Habakkuk is, he's struggling. He's struggling with all that's happening in the world around him. Let me say this morning. There's nothing wrong with struggling with what's going on around in the life of a Christian. If you've never struggled as a Christian, you've probably not been saved very long. Right? We go through difficulties and trials in life, and sometimes you struggle with to understand what's going on around you. And sometimes the devil tempts us to believe that God doesn't care, tempts us to believe that God is not interested in what we have going on in life. Maybe he tells us that he's forsaken his own. And it's normal for us to struggle sometimes. But Habakkuk sees himself as a watchman on the walls of Jerusalem. And he sees himself as waiting for a message from God that he could share with his people. And the watchmen were responsible to warn the city of approaching danger. And if they weren't faithful, their hands would be stained with the blood of the people who died. Consider what the Lord told Ezekiel in chapter 3. He says this, "Son of man, I have made thee a watchman in the house of Israel. Therefore hear the word at my mouth and give them warnings from me. When I say unto the wicked, thou shalt surely die, and thou givest him not a warning, nor speakest to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, the same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at thine hand. Yet if thou warn the wicked, and he turn not from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but thou hast delivered thy soul." What he's saying is if I tell you to go and warn somebody of their wickedness, of their evil way, and you don't do it, he said, they're going to die. He said, but you're going to be responsible. He said, but if you go and you warn them and they ignore you and they die, he said, then you have cleared yourself and you're not responsible anymore because you have delivered the witness. It was a serious responsibility to be a watchman. And in the middle of this struggle that he's got going on, that he's dealing with, Habakkuk makes this choice. Look at this in verse number one there. He makes a choice. Number one, he says he's going to stand on his watch. Habakkuk decided that no matter what was going on in his life, he was going to stay faithful to his responsibilities. He was going to stay faithful to his responsibilities. He said, I stand on my watch. When you decide that you don't want to be average, God hears a prayer like that. The average runs out when things get hard. The average quits attending church when the storm hits. Y'all awake with me this morning? The average quits trusting the Lord when things get difficult. Right? But when you decide, hey, I don't want to be average. I'm going to trust God in this difficulty right now. I'm going to stand on my watch. God will hear a prayer like that. We don't want to be average. We're going to stand on his watch. He said, I sat on the tower. He said, I'm going to watch to see what the Lord would say. Listen, sometimes you may not hear what God is saying, but you can see what he is doing. Sometimes you may not hear, you may not have a specific word from the Lord. Hello? You may not have a specific word from the Lord, but you can see the way in which he is working in your life. Pay attention to what the Lord is doing around you and see what he is doing. It's important for us to have a vision for where the Lord wants us to go, for where the Lord wants us to work and be involved. If we don't have a vision of God for our life, if you don't have a vision for God of God for your life can become dictated by the last conversation you had. Some of y'all get that on the way home. Be fickle and bouncing from one thing to the next. An emotional roller coaster. An emotional turmoil. The vision that you and I need for our lives isn't something that comes from man's wisdom. It's a vision only Almighty God can give. Four things right here. I want you to notice this. The vision that the Lord wants to give you, it's going to align with the Word of God. The vision will glorify God. A vision from God is going to begin in your spirit. And God's vision will meet the needs of others. Will meet the needs of others. What stirs your heart in the place of prayer? Hey, listen, if you're not praying, you're not going to get the vision from the Lord for your life. What makes you dream? What gives you spiritual energy? Listen, God did not save us to serve our own selfish desires. Amen. God did not serve us to serve self. God saved us and changed us and delivered us from sin to serve a lost and dying world, to reach a lost and dying world. What is our motto here? We are reaching people for Christ and teaching them to follow Christ. Right? We're not showing up to church and drink, eating. Amen. I love donuts and coffee, but we're not just showing up to church on Sunday to eat donuts and shake hands and kiss babies. Amen. Hallelujah. We are reaching people for Christ and teaching people for Christ. We've been bought with a price. We are not our own. We are serving Jesus Christ. Number two, not only the source of the vision, but the script of the vision. The script of the vision. He says this, and the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon the tables, that he may run that readeth it. Warren Wiersbe said this, when you behold the glory of God and you believe the word of God, it gives you faith to accept the will of God. One man said it like this. He said, a dream becomes a vision when you write it down. A dream becomes a vision when you write it down. Hey, listen, we wouldn't be reading the words of Habakkuk today if he hadn't written it down. Habakkuk could have had all of this revelation from the Lord, but unless he had taken time to write it down, none of us would be reading it today. Aren't you glad that the Word of God was preserved for us and written down so that we could have it to follow the words of God? And I'm just going to say this. I'm a firm believer in a spiritual journal. You ought to have a spiritual journal for what God is doing in your personal prayer life, in your personal devotional life, what God is showing you and leading you. You need to take notes about what God is doing. Satan is a master manipulator. Satan loves to work on you and to work in your emotions and to try to work you over, bring confusion and doubt. And listen, when the Lord gives you direction in your life, put pen to paper. Amen. Write it down. And so when the enemy tries to cast doubt on you, you go back to where the Lord began to show you the vision he has for your life. And you can say, right here is where God began to give me direction. God began to lead me. And I can remember this day, this time, this hour, whatever it is, God began to show me clearly. Maybe he gave you a verse. Maybe it was a song, but you can write it down, the script. God has a plan for your life. God has a plan for you to serve him. Personally, where are you supposed to be engaged in serving in the kingdom of God? Am I working so that his will is being accomplished on earth as it is in heaven? My family, what is God's vision and desire for my family? Am I putting God first in my family? Do my children know that God is first? In ministry, everybody has got a ministry they ought to be involved in. Amen. Everybody has got a ministry they ought to be involved in. Everybody's got a ministry they can attend to. Every one of us has something different, a different ministry to be involved in, because we're all gifted differently. Did you know that? You're not gifted the same way I am. You'd probably be thankful. And I'm not gifted the same way you are. And God wants us to serve in the areas that we're gifted in. And we all come together and work, and the kingdom of God grows, and God is glorified. What do I want to have seen God accomplish in my life when I am older, when I am elderly? What do I want to see God have accomplished in my life? Do I want to look back on my life and be disappointed because I didn't see God accomplish more, because I wasn't surrendered, because I wasn't fulfilling His vision? You know, I realize that all of us are at different points in our lives, but in a year from now, what do I want to look back and see God have accomplished in my life? We ought to desire to be further down the road spiritually a year from now than we are right now. I don't want to look back in 2023 and be in the exact same spot that I am right now. I want to be closer to the Lord. I want to have done something more for the Lord a year from now than I have done right now. We had a desire to accomplish more. Habakkuk was faithful to write down what the Lord showed him. Number three, the struggle of the vision. The struggle of the vision. He says this, for the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry. The vision was for an appointed, a future time. You know, there are some elements of having a vision that require patience. Having a vision requires tenacity, and it requires faith. I've discovered that ministry is messy sometimes. You don't get to serve in God's economy for free. There's a cost to serving. It costs you something to reach a lost and dying world. And people are always a moving target. Lost people often act like lost people. Right? Sometimes church people act like lost people. But you know what? We're just called to continue to be faithful. We're called to continue to have tenacity, to have faith. Because time is in God's hands. It's not in ours. We don't know what is next. And the enemy often fights the greatest when we are on the verge of victory. But there are elements that clouds our vision. There's clouds of sin, and there's clouds of self. When you're not living the way you ought to be living, those clouds of sin will cloud your vision for what God is wanting to do. When you're serving self, that often clouds your vision for what God wants to do in your life. Hey, listen, our vision is only as good as long as we keep our eyes on the one who gave it to us. As long as we keep our eyes on Jesus. I read this quote yesterday. It says, "The storms of life are far more dangerous when I am more captivated by the wind and the waves than I am by the Savior." I'm going to say that again. The storms of life are far more dangerous when I'm more captivated by the wind and the waves than I am by the Savior. Hey, we have to keep looking unto the author and finisher of our faith, to be victorious and to have the vision clear in our eyes today. Although Habakkuk felt the struggle, he trusted God. And lastly, I want to notice the surety of the vision. The surety of the vision. He says this. He says, "Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." He says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by faith." Hey, the old devil is going to come and whisper in your ear at times. Boy, he's going to say, "Boy, God, that thing God promised to you, that thing God said he was going to bring to pass, looks like that was a dud. Don't you feel stupid now? Guess you should have gone and done something else because that was a waste of time. You ever whispered that to you? Don't you feel silly? But let me encourage you this morning. I was reading in 1 Kings chapter 8, and as Solomon blessed the congregation, he said this, according to all he promised, there hath not one word failed of his good promise. Not one word. Not one word. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He hasn't abdicated his throne. He is still the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. What he has promised will come to pass because he has not changed one bit. He is still faithful to what he has promised. Verse 4, Habakkuk said those familiar words, the just shall live by faith. And he was prophesying of a new covenant that was to come, when the Lord of glory would become the supreme perfect sacrifice for all of mankind. The veil would be removed and man could have access to the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. What a glorious thing. And the vision was sure, even though it took time to come to pass. The vision was assured of them. And while the immediate application in Habakkuk there that he wrote of was for the end of the Babylonian captivity, the writer of the epistle in Hebrews, remember I said it was spoken of in three different books in the New Testament. The writer there in the book of Hebrews wrote of it as the return of Jesus Christ. And led by the Holy Spirit, the writer of Hebrews changed the word it to he. And he applied it to our Lord. He says, for yet a little while, and he that will come shall come and will not tarry. And along with the scoffers that Peter wrote about, some readers might ask, well, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of his coming? And I believe this morning that God the Father would say, just hold on. The promise is still true. He is coming back. He is going to return. The promise is still sure this morning. The Lord of glory will return for his church. It's time to get ready. It's time for us to have a vision that only God can give and tell a lost and dying world about a sinner that will save them from sin and give them an eternal home and a hope beyond the grave. Are we endeavoring to seek God's vision for our lives? Am I striving to have God's will come about in my life on earth as it is in heaven? Does God's will supersede mine? Or is his a distant second? The church ought to be on a march against the forces of the enemy. And we must now have the mind of Christ, a heavenly vision to strive against the foe and be victorious and take new territory. Where will Second Mile, where will Kenwood, where will we be a year from now? Will we be further down the road? Will we have seen more souls saved? Will new territory for the kingdom be taken? Or will we be stagnant? Will we become complacent? Or will we be victorious again? Will we have a vision for what God wants to do in Clarksville and Montgomery County? Will the cause of Christ be advanced, or will the church be diminished? Over 350 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. In the first year, they established a town site. And the next year, they elected a town government. The third year, the town government planned to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. In the fourth year, the people tried to impeach the town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. Who needed to go there anyway? Here were the people that had the vision to see 3,000 miles across the ocean and overcome great hardships to get there. But in just a few years, they were not able to see even 5 miles out of town. They lost their vision to see what could be accomplished. Solomon, in all of his wisdom, had these words: where there is no vision, where there is no vision, the people perish. Amen. Andrew, you want to come? Another rendering for that is cast off restraint or turn away. See, when I don't have the vision that God has for me, I will ultimately turn away from His plan for my life. Will we choose today to see a vision that only God can give? It takes some sacrifice. It takes some surrendering of my will to His will. Or will we choose to be clouded by visions of sin and self? Listen, this morning, if you've never met Jesus, I'll just say this. If you've never met Jesus this morning, you can't even have a vision that God has for you. Because Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the first step to even having a vision, a spiritual vision. And unless you repent of your sin and turn to Jesus Christ in faith, you can't have it. But if you will turn to Jesus this morning in faith and put your faith and trust in Him, my, what a vision you can have. What a change in your life He'll make. The spiritual scales will fall off your eyes, and you'll have a whole new concept of what life looks like. Totally, I mean, the sky will be bluer. The tree leaves will be greener. Totally revolutionize the way you look at things. But you've got to turn to Him in faith and trust and repent, and He'll make a difference in your life. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? This morning, if you've never asked Jesus to be in your heart, to be your Savior and come into your heart and change your life, if you've never repented of your sins, ask Him to be your Lord and Savior. Today is your day. The Word says that today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow, today. And this morning, if you feel a tug on your heart, you feel a prick on your heart, and you say, I don't know that I've ever asked Jesus to be my Savior. I don't have a time and place in my life. Well, today's your day. I mean, if you've never done that, you can do that this morning. By calling on Him in faith, repenting. Repenting just means a change of mind. Turning from your sin to Christ. And if you're ready to do that this morning, you can do it by praying and asking Him to do that. And I'd like to lead you in a prayer. It's not the words of the prayer that saves you. It's your faith and repentance. But you could pray a prayer like this. It's not the words. It's your faith. But you could pray something like this: Lord Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, separated from You by my sin. And Lord, I know that I need You to save me. And without You, I am lost and headed for hell. This morning, Lord, I repent of my sins. And I turn to You, trusting You alone as my Savior. Please forgive me and come into my heart. Thank You for Your promise. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for being my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed, still for just a moment. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I'd like to pray for you. If you prayed that prayer, would you just slip up your hand, quick laying back down, so I can pray for you? Anybody like that this morning? Just me looking. Amen. By the testimony of everybody here this morning, everybody is saved and on their way to heaven. Praise the Lord. And I thank God for that. Maybe this morning, before we stand and pray, and Andrew sings a song, maybe this morning I just want to extend the invitation that maybe this morning you just need to ask God for a fresh vision. And that's what the invitation this morning will be for. You need a fresh vision. The altar is going to be open. You come and pray. There will be folks to pray with you. God, give our churches a fresh vision this year, this coming year. God, give us a fresh vision for what He wants to do in our lives and in the life of our church. Would you stand with us as Andrew sings?
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.